The Israel Report with Rolene Marks for the latest information and the stories behind the news.
Time is 5:38. Joining me on the line from, well, I think, I don't know, Hilton seems to be having a chat to Rolene just when I feel I need to talk to her. Rolene, ooh. Gosh, no. In fact, we do seem to have a bit of a problem getting hold of Rolene. Hilton is trying furiously to make sure that we do. Just so you know, the topics that I do want to chat to her about is apparently there were Jewish students amongst the wounded and the dead in the Florida school shooting. And I don't know if you've been following that story. Obviously, I do understand that South Africans were very, very South Africa focused yesterday with the news of Jacob Zuma resigning. But there was, again, one of these tragic school shootings in Florida, in the United States. Terrible story indeed. Rolene Marks, I was just giving an overview as to what we're chatting about. There were Jewish students involved in the Florida school shooting?
Yes, and our thoughts and prayers, and I think a lot of frustration for many of us around the world as we look at the United States and yet another deadly school shooting, this time 17 victims. What we do know for sure in terms of Jewish students is that one of the dead has been identified as Jamie Gutenberg, a young girl. She was killed in the school shooting this morning. Another three Jewish students injured, and so far only two of the victims have been named. One of them is Jamie Gutenberg, a young Jewish girl. The other is the head of the sports department who was killed trying to shepherd his students to safety. We also know that the Jewish community of called Tikvah, who work very, very closely to the school, helped the students through the first stages of trauma. A lot of them are providing trauma counseling. The community where the school is has a lot of Jewish students and actually quite a big Jewish community, and everybody has made themselves available to help families and to help children who are traumatized. The nearby synagogue has offered a place of refuge and also for prayers if anybody should feel the need to come to the synagogue.
One of the most disturbing things I found in terms of the story was, I was just doing some reading on it a little bit earlier before the show, and I was reading quote after quote by fellow students saying, yeah, well, I'm not surprised. Yeah, if anybody was going to shoot us, it was going to be this bloke. And I thought, it's got to be a uniquely American experience to for anyone to say, well, yes, you know, I thought it would be him if there was going to. I mean, are they accepting this as being an inevitable fact of life in schools across America now?
Well, this is just horrific. And again, it's brought to the fore the whole discussion and debate on gun control. And I saw the mayor of Bell Harbor, Gabe Groisman, commenting, because his community is very close there, saying that, you know, while he supports the Second Amendment, you know, the right to bear arms, the right to defend your property, the reality is that the mechanisms in place to get guns are so poor. And this needs to be looked at seriously. I've got in coming now that there are perhaps maybe more Jewish students amongst the dead.
The reality is that no matter who it is, Jewish or not Jewish, it's just absolutely tragic that 17 young lives have been cut down whilst they were at school or ending their school day because of some lunatic who was obsessed with weaponry, who was a loner, who was actually expelled from the school or left the school for whatever reason, and decided to come back and wreak as much havoc as possible. It's just an absurd.
And yet it's a pattern that we've seen. We saw it with Columbine, with Virginia Tech. You know, this news blast just saying Jews amongst the dead. So far we've only got two identified bodies, that of Jamie Guttenberg, may she rest in peace, and the head of the sports department, may he rest in peace. Yes, we know that the perpetrator or the murderer was Nicholas Cruz. He's 19 years old. And, you know, one would think after all this time with all these many school shootings, and this is certainly not the first, that there would be some kind of profiling in place, some kind of warning system. It is just too horrendous. And what we also know is that he has been arraigned on 17 counts of premeditated murder. And if convicted, he faces the death penalty. Florida is a death penalty state.
It's absolutely incredible. I wonder if people have, are Americans not looking at themselves, and forget the gun control laws, that because that I really do believe is only one aspect of it. Why is it that American students want to kill fellow American students? What is it about the psychology and the psyche and the social environment that has bred some form of acceptability to this type of situation? Why aren't we seeing this, I mean, thankfully, in other parts of the world? Why doesn't it happen?
I think because other parts of the world have stronger gun control laws. I mean, just here in Israel, we have very, very strict and tight gun control laws. And you know,
I don't agree, because if a fellow student wanted to harm another student, they would find a way to do it. Whether they would run through the halls with a knife, whether they would find another way. It's just not part of a psyche of students around the world. And I would love to understand from a psychological aspect, what is it that brings them to the point that they would do this? It's just, I don't understand why there isn't more of an in-depth research into why this, I mean, maybe there is, but we're just not seeing it, into why this is happening.
Well, this is it. You know, one would think after Columbine and just the shock it caused. And Columbine did not exist in a vacuum. Columbine was after many other school shootings, just with lesser casualties. That, you know, one would think that something had really come to a head, and it was time for maybe stricter profiling or something. But it just seemed, you know.
One of our listeners has just messaged me saying, most of the perpetrators of the mass killings in the USA were leftist. It can't be that. It can't be a left-right political thing. I don't know.
My thoughts on this, and I'm going to say it again, that it's so easy. It's such a knee-jerk reaction to say, blame the leftists.
I kind of feel this that about the guns as well. I feel like it's not the leftists, rightists. It's not the guns. There's something that is triggering American kids to want to kill each other. That's what we have to look at, not how they do it, not what their political views are, unless it is part of it. But I can't see why it would be part of it. What is causing American students to want to kill and hurt each other? How lonely can you be? How angry can you be? And why is that anger only acted out upon in the United States? It doesn't make sense to me.
And I think you've hit the nail on the head. And once again, I really urge people, you know, it's so easy to say it's the leftists, it's the rightists. These kind of, this is not an argument. This doesn't hold water. It's not deep enough reflection on these issues. These issues are much, much, much deeper. And instead of knee-jerk blaming partisan politics or this wing or that wing, I think it has to go deeper into the psychological issues.
Yeah,
I remember bringing, and it's this, unbelievable, I don't know if I call it love of firearms or what it is in the United States. I remember taking a group of lawmakers, addressing a group of lawmakers here in Israel, and there were a couple from Dade County, also law enforcement. And all they could talk about was getting back to Arlene. And when I asked them if Arlene was their daughter or a family member or even a loved pet, they told me, no, Arlene's their gun.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that is, you know, that was staggering for me. You know, coming from a country, South Africa, where we are used to violence. And having said that, we don't have school shootings, exactly as you've just opined, Howard.
Well, this is what Nikki's saying here. I think bullying and feelings of exclusion play a part. Nikki, I get it. I just, you know, we have bullying in South Africa, unfortunately. And we've got people feeling excluded in South Africa and other parts of the world. What do you think, Nikki? What do you think it is that causes people to take that next step? That unsigned person saying, check the facts about who are the past perpetrators. I will. Maybe it is political. I don't. The reality is I don't really know. Unsigned also calling us, sending a message from the United States saying were many of them bullied by chance. I really don't know. It is just absolutely beyond me that this can that even if somebody's bullied, even if somebody's excluded, what is it that differentiates the United States from the rest of the world? And science saying, I don't believe it was the left to stop listening to Dennis Prager's narrow views. I happen to agree with many of Dennis Prager's views. I happen to disagree with many of them. I can't believe it's political. I can't believe it's about everybody's saying it's gun control.
I also disagree that it's political.
It's got to be. I just want to know what it is that creates the desire to kill fellow students. That's what I'm trying to understand. Forget the noise. What creates the need or the wish to see your fellow students dead? That's what I don't understand.
I mean, we saw with Columbine, bullying was an issue with the Columbine murders as well. And these were planned to the nth degree.
Yes.
This, to me, should have been the ultimate warning to schools, to law enforcement, to parents, to, you know, for anybody who works with teens and bullied teens.
Right, and Ansan saying it's not political, it's about a mindset. I guess what he's saying, Rolene, is that from a very far left perspective, everything is about feeling. So if you are bullied and you are alienated, perhaps that gives validity to your actions. I don't know. The reality is it is so tragic that we're not even surprised to see this type of event happening over and over and over again. And I can't imagine why. You see, and I think the problem is that people are so agenda-driven. The gun lobbies, those that support gun control are saying it's because there's no gun control. Those that obviously are involved with the gun industry are saying it's got nothing to do with that. And then it becomes about the non-issue. Instead of looking at it and saying, what is it that causes a fellow student want to kill another?
All I know is that there are 17 families who've lost their loved ones.
Absolutely.
There are children fighting for their lives in hospital. And once again, you know, people will offer their prayers and their hugs and condolences. The time for prayers and hugs and condolences, while appreciated, is over. It's time, I don't know, whether it's for tougher legislation, more in-depth reflection.
It's probably a combination of everything.
Tighter security at schools.
And science saying Americans are exposed to more guns than most other countries. They don't have a fear of guns that we have. Maybe that's relevant. Somebody else saying it looks like under Trump there's been an increase in school shootings. This means this mean-spirited blame game under Trump might have increased the problem. I'm not really sure what you're saying there. Are you saying it's because Trump has been labeled that, or are you saying that this blame game under Trump has caused it? And in fact, is that the case? I don't have the figures. I don't know if there has been an increase of school shootings. I'm not sure if that is or isn't the case. Do you know, Rolene?
I was just about to say, I'm not confident of those figures either. I don't. I think that, you know, while Obama was in his terms in office, we certainly had our fair share of school shootings in the United States. I don't think it's endemic to any of the sitting presidents. I think that this is something far bigger. It's a far bigger issue.
Well, actually, Rolina, I just asked Sasha. Sasha, what did you say? There's been under.
There have been 89 during his term.
How does that compare, though? I guess is the question. I mean, 89 is an insane number.
I mean, how considering he's only been in office for just over a year.
But that's 89. Yeah. Well, you know, I get it, except that I don't think that this develops in a year. I think this is part of a social psychological issue across the United States. It cannot be that it's just developed in a year and all of a sudden Trump is elected to presidency and this happens. There's got to be more to it. Chaim saying it's perhaps years of violence on TV. Maybe, but I don't know that our children are exposed to any less. I'm trying to figure out with you and with everybody's help, and I really do appreciate everybody getting involved because this is what contributes to a fantastic conversation. What is different in America to the rest of the world?
And it's not socioeconomic because this school is in an affluent suburb. Columbine was in an affluent suburb. Virginia is
Well, guns are not cheap either, so you've also got to be able to afford them.
Guns are not cheap.
Crazy. It is absolutely, absolutely absurd. 34519 or 061-895-1019. I'm fascinated and I really would love to hear your views on why do you think this is happening in America? Is it as simple as gun control? Is it as simple as a left-right thing? Is it as simple as Donald Trump causing this for some reason or blaming Donald Trump or feelings overriding everything? I don't know. I just don't. I'm not finding resolution with why this is happening repeatedly 89 times, according to Sasha Starr, since Donald Trump became president. And I'm not linking it to it at all. It's just giving a time frame. It's just over a year. 89 in a year sounds horrific, absolutely horrific. Really, let's just move on to another subject. The U.S. House of Representatives has passed the bill condemning Hamas for use of civilians as human shields.
Well, just before we get onto the story, I just want to say a huge mazel tov to all of South Africa for a brand new day. Amen. And here is wishing the brand new president, President Cyril Ramaphosa, all the best for his new term in office. And I hope that he can take cognizance or lessons from this. The U.S. House of Representatives yesterday unanimously passing a bill which condemns the terrorist group Hamas and its collaborators for deliberately putting innocent people in harm's way as a military tactic, or as we so often speak about it, Howard, as human shields. So Representative Joe Wilson of South Carolina, he's Republican, he introduced the Hamas Human Shields Prevention Act. And in this act is the following passage: the world must face the threat of Hamas terrorists as they continue to perpetrate atrocities against civilians and use them as human shields. I am grateful that the U.S. House of Representatives took a stand today against this murderous terrorist group, and I'm hopeful that the Senate will pass HR resolution 3542 quickly. I believe this legislation will help ensure the lives of innocent Palestinian civilians are spared by proactively imposing strong sanctions against Hamas. And President Ramaphosa, if you're listening to the Israel Report, and I know you do because I know many other presidents and dignitaries do, please take cognizance. Don't invite Hamas to your conferences. This is what they do to their civilians, and please be aware of this very, very, very good law, both for Israelis and Palestinians, that has been passed in the U.S. House of Representatives.
Well, it's actually funny you say that, Rolene. I just saw the most terribly anti-Semitic tweet, which reads as follows: we now officially belong to Israel. Cyril Ramaphosa sold our revolution out already before 1993, the Constitution, and we have I can't read the English, was complied by Jews. He even ensured that Madiba's hand was greased by the Jews from London. So there we go. I guess the good thing about that is there's an acceptance that Cyril Ramaphosa actually doesn't have the anti-Semitic views of the rest of or certain parts of the ANC. Just going back to some of the other messages, Rose is saying, blaming Trump for this tragedy is like Zuma blaming the whites for his woes. And Unsigned saying, it's sugar and porn and violent TV and violent video games and slack parenting. So so there we go. We're getting lots of different thoughts.
Well, those are certainly sugar and porn. I mean, I thought it was the name of a rock band.
It's actually a great name. Sasha, if you're ever thinking of forming a rock band, Sugar and Porn, I think sounds awesome.
I've already come up with a name for my rock band.
Come on. This is bad.
No, it is.
What is yours?
Sugar and Ice.
Sugar and Ice. I like that also. Sugar and Porn sounds much more edgy.
How would I can't sing worth a jot, but hey, let's form a band and call it Sugar and Porn.
Absolutely. Absolutely right. Finally, we've got 1 minute to go. It's not possible to talk about the next story. Now, Rolene Marks, next week, I am actually going to be hosting the morning show. Kathy Kaler is not going to be here. I'm going to be hosting the morning show for the next 2 weeks. So just make sure that that everything's under control here in the studio with the afternoon show. You're going to manage that?
I think I'll manage it. You know, I can wield myself a very, very high stiletto shoe.
Exactly right, Rolene. I've left you in charge, and you know that with great power comes great responsibility.
I accept your terms, Al.
Have a Shabbat Shalom. It's about to go 6 o'clock. That is a report brought to you by the Blue Agency.